Tonight we are talking about catalysts to change, and hopefully somebody back there will have some scriptures for me. Is he in here? All right. Somebody will be back there, but we've been talking about it since the beginning of January, and I mean, because that's what we do. We begin a new year, and I don't think God really operates in years, but we do it, and Matt Judd does it, and he really loves it, and so the rest of us go along with it, right?
Yeah.
But at the beginning of every year, we really put a lot into this change thing, and I believe that we should always be changing, right? But we're really focusing on it right now, and we're in the middle of trust challenge. This thing is gonna just annoy me. Might need to use a handheld. But we're in the middle of this season, and so we will talk about this tonight, another catalyst of change. We've talked about patterns, right, and breaking out of patterns, and we talked about the voice of God and about relationships and having a good team and all these different things. And so I have been asked to share about just one that I made up, and hopefully you will agree and go along with it tonight. And I'm gonna need to take that microphone. It's just not working up here. I just don't like these things, man. Not natural. Check. All right, good. Oh. The Lord. All right. Is it working? Okay. No, I was saying the Lord needs to help us out. I was not blaming that on the Lord. I don't know what you're talking about. But so tonight, let's get into this. Tonight we're talking about catalysts to change. And one catalyst to change is hunger. All right? And so I hope you're not physically hungry right now, or this could be a really painful message. Just every time I say hunger, your stomach growls. But have to go along with it. So hunger, it's necessary for growth. It's necessary for change, right? I know as a little kid, I had to eat, right? And if I didn't eat, I would not have grown, right? You have to put food in your body, and I'm sure Mr. Matt knows more about this, but some amazing process take place in our bodies, and somehow it takes this food and it turns it into something that makes you grow, right? I mean, this is just the simplest way to explain it. And so hunger is necessary for growth, and hunger is a healthy thing. In fact, if a child isn't eating, then there's probably a problem, right? Or if you're not eating consistently, then you got something going on, all right? You might want to go get that checked out. I know we have dogs. We have two dogs, Jester and Annabelle. And when they're not eating, you know, I know they're sick or something's not right, or, you know, Annabelle's about to have puppies. I mean, something's going on, right, with her. And we saw on Sunday that sometimes little kids, they act like dogs, right? And you guys remember that? And so little kids, when they're not eating, something might be wrong. Same thing with your dog, all right? If your dog's not eating, you need to take it to the vet. Or just minister to it. But all that to say is that hunger is a healthy thing. And sometimes we don't think of it that way. But what's amazing is that God designed us to be hungry. And that's a weird concept, because God designed us to be complete. But at the same time, in that completion, he made this space for hunger. Isn't that weird? Like in the garden, back with Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit of the tree. And so it's weird that they had to eat. Like, they had fellowship there. Everything was perfect. The garden was great. And even in perfection and all that, there was this hunger. And what happened is that what they thought they were hungry for wasn't really what was going to satisfy them and fill them. And so the devil, he deceives them into eating something they weren't hungry for. And they ate it. And we've been in this mess ever since. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Eve. For getting us here, right? And so, but all that's to say that hunger is something God designed and he made us to have. And it's necessary for us to grow. And I'm not just talking about physically tonight, but in every area of our life, hunger brings change and it brings growth. And Paul in Philippians 4:12, we will read a couple of scriptures tonight. Philippians 4:12, he says something very interesting. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Basically, I know how to do without and how to have a lot. And he said, everywhere in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. Now, he's talking about physical needs right here. What Paul was doing is he was crazy. He was out there living on the edge. He would go into places that nobody else would go. And he did without for the gospel, right? He suffered for the gospel. But I think there's a spiritual context to this too, that we learn to be full and to be hungry. All right, now this is weird, so just stick with me for a second. We learn to be content with where we're at and who God has made us, but all the while wanting to know Him more and wanting to know what He has called us to do. It's this weird place, and there's so many things like that in the Bible and in Scripture. I mean, Jesus came and He shows up and He just tells us things that are just weird and off the wall. Love your enemies. That doesn't make sense. Thing after thing that Jesus says doesn't really make sense for us. And this concept of being full and being hungry, that's weird, right? But I believe that as we grow and we change, that we are full and at the same time we're hungry for more of God, for more of who He's called us to be. And we're constantly maintaining, you know, who we are, but also growing. We're constantly full, constantly growing. And so hunger, what is it? Webster says it's a strong desire. All right, it's like a craving, a yearning, something you have. You want to eat. I'm hungry. I got to get something in my system, right? And, I mean, everybody understands that concept. But this strong desire, it causes us to do things, all right? The desire brings forth action. That's what desire does for all of us, is that there's some action that comes along with it. And so tonight, if you're hungry after church, you probably will go to your fridge and open up some. You open it up and you will grab some food out of there, right? Because that desire. And a lot of you, I mean, I'm not going to look at anybody, but a lot of you aren't really that hungry, and you're just going to go to the fridge and eat anyway. You know, I mean, that's just how it works. I do that too, right? We think we're hungry, but I won't get into our health thing tonight. We're talking about the Spirit. But I mean, this is a truth. Desire leads to something. I want to read, this is kind of an interesting scripture to read right here, and we're going to kind of flip it around. But in James 1:14, it talks about desire, and it talks about the bad side of desire. So let's read that. It says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Interesting, right? It's saying that our sin, it comes out of this desire. And this in the sin nature, I believe that there are seeds for desire, that we're all born with that sinful nature. We all have seeds of desire within us, and it's been corrupted. It happened, like I just said, at the garden. It happened at the very beginning, and these things, that's when they were planted in us. But then, when we receive Jesus and we receive the fullness of His life, new seeds are planted in it, new desires, I believe, that God has put within all of us. And those desires, if we act on them, if we grow in that, they will bring forth life. And that's the ultimate goal, is that you and I would have life. That's why Jesus came. That's why what we do here at Good News Church, it's all about life. So these desires bring forth life. This hunger is a strong desire that will one day bring forth some sort of life within you. Just like every calorie that you eat, it is going to go somewhere. It just doesn't disappear, right? All right, you know, there's no magical thing. What you put in your body, is something's going to happen with it. You know what I'm saying? It's not just going to disappear and vanish. I wish it worked like that. You know, when I'm eating a lot of ice cream, it's going to go somewhere. All right? It's going to do something to my body, all right? I'm just going to be real with you. You guys know this. But so this hunger, this desire, it produces something in our lives. And now that's good to know for several reasons. One, it's good to know is that we can use desire to bring about change in our life. It's also good to know that if something in our life isn't going right or we keep messing up and doing something, it's probably because of something that we desire. And maybe we don't see it, and maybe we need to do some digging and see what's really going on. I know for me, right now I'm at this moment, one of the big things, I've talked about it in groups and stuff, one of the big things that I want to change in myself is I want to be a more loving person. All right, if you know me well enough, I can sometimes be hard and critical and all those different things, and I don't want that to be my identity for the rest of my life, right? And so I'm reading a book by Townsend, all right? You know, Cloud and Townsend, they're doing the class back there, and it's called Loving People. And I haven't gotten very far into the book or anything, but I'll just tell you the basic premise, all right? I sound like my mother right now. You just read the first page and the last page, and you know it all. But he says loving people is basically you are seeking and doing what is in the best interest of other people. You're not seeking and doing what is in the best interest of yourself. So that is, if I want to, or you want to, be a loving person, we're just going to see how many mics we can go through tonight. I didn't know that was going to be the goal, but it seems like a good thing. All right, get them ready. But loving people, I can't just say, okay, I want to love people more, and then start trying to be nicer, and then that's not going to get me far, right? You know, just doing something, it'll work for a couple days, maybe a week, but I'm telling you, it's not going to bring lasting change. And we've talked about that over and over. Patterns and ways of thinking and all this stuff. Our desires have to change. Bottom line is our desires have to change. We have to be hungry for the right things. And so if I'm wanting to be a more loving person, then that means that my desire has to be, I need to do what's in the best interest of you and not what's in the best interest of me, which is what we normally want to do, right? So my desire has to change. And I have to tell you that that can't be done externally, all right? It can't be, rules are not going to fix this for us. You know, setting up, I need to say I love you to this many people this week, that's not going to make me a more loving person, right? Something on the inside of me, I believe, is changing, but has to keep changing. And all of us, we all have things like this, areas that we need changed in, we need to grow in, and a desire within us has to change. And let's look at Philippians 2:13. This is an encouraging scripture along those lines. It says, you got it back there. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Is there another scripture that says something about desires? Like NLT or something? Yeah, there you go. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You see that? So sometimes we think we got to make ourselves do something, or I got to make myself be more desiring in this area. But the truth is that God is the only one who can work that in you. And right now, I believe that in the people in this room, God is presently working in your desires. And so to continue along the process, keep going down the path. It may not look like that at times. Things may look rough or whatever, but stick with it. Stick with it, because this is a promise. It says God is working in you, and he's going to give you desires. And not only that, he's going to give you the power to live out those desires. And we all need that in here, every one of us. Let's be honest. We can't do this on our own. And so this desire thing, it's a big deal. And I truly believe, all right, I truly believe the difference between some of these heroes of faith or whatever, you know, we look at someone like Abraham, we look at David, we look at more modern day people. I truly believe the reason that they experienced God's fullness, or that they really lived out the God life, is because of desire. All right, I believe that, like, right there separates them from, you know, maybe that you don't feel like you're at that place, or them from just whatever, is this desire thing. Is people who are really intense and passionate about the things of God. That's what, I mean, you know, we can argue this out, but I think if you looked at the scriptures, the desire thing is what really, is what changes you and is what makes you live out the God life. And I believe that Jesus, there's a story, you guys know Jesus, right? There's a story about him when he's younger, all right? And he's like 11 years old, all right? He's really young. Maybe he's younger than that. He's 12 years old. Maybe older than that. He's 12 years old. And Jesus is he's in the temple. Like, Mary and Joseph, they've come. and they've come for the big feast, whichever one it is, and they're there, and then they leave, and Jesus is left behind, all right? And he stays back, and he talks with the older scribes and stuff, and he's sharing with them, and they're sharing with him. And this shows that Jesus, from this young age, had this incredible desire to figure out who he was, to figure out who God called him to be. And I believe that's the key to the success, is that at age 30, he had been along the way this path of desiring and learning and growing. And then at age 30, he steps out in ministry. And it's been 3 years of ministry and all he did. And John says at the end of his gospel, he says, I couldn't write down everything he did. It was just so much. All the volumes in the world wouldn't fill up everything this guy did. And I believe that a lot of that started back with the whole desire thing. At 12 years old, he was desiring to see who God had called him to be. And so this is about change. And I got to be honest with you guys. When I think about change, the thing that I'm changing to is to the image of Christ. Right? I'm changing. I need to be somebody's more presentable so I can be more famous, or I need to get in better shape so that people like how I look. I mean, that's not what the whole change thing is about. And sometimes we get off with it all. And tonight I don't want to tell you what to desire as much as I want to, you know, help you understand it and maybe get a hold of it. But I'm just going to tell you what I do desire is to look like Jesus. Is to know God and to be like God. Because I think we heard on Sunday that we all have this capacity to be like God. And this is the great mystery. This is us being filled and flooded with God. And so that's what I want to grow in. This is what all the change stuff is about. Right? And so sometimes we get off and we get hungry for other things. All of us are hungry for something. The question is, what is it? The question is, what are we eating? What do we want to eat? I know sometimes it's very easy when you come home and you're really hungry and you go maybe into your pantry or wherever and you just start grabbing food, and you can just grab a lot of food and you can eat a lot of stuff and you can still be hungry afterwards. I don't know. Has anybody ever done that? Pastor Nate, you've done that, right? He's giving me I've done that. If you guys have ever had cotton candy, you know that you can eat as much cotton candy as you want and you will never be full, right? Just by the very nature of cotton candy, I mean, it's just nothingness. You'll never be full. And I believe that most things in the world are like cotton candy, that you can eat as much as you want, but you will never be full. And what a fool it would be if I would be such a fool just to keep eating and never be full, right? You know? I mean, how silly for us to live our lives and go after this or go after that and never be full. And but there's hope, thank God. There's hope. Matthew 5:6, let's look at this. I'm kind of all over the place, and you can just deal with it. Matthew, what? I do love you guys, yes. Definitely. But let's look at this. This is a good scripture. This is great. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so right here, Jesus, the man himself, tells us what we should be hungry and thirsty for. And he says, he gives us a promise that we shall be filled. Right? Because I don't know if everything in this world, if I eat it, if I'm hungry for it, I'll be filled. There's a lot of things I'm actually certain that I can eat as much as I want and I'll never be filled. Right? There's some things that I've tried to eat and they never filled me. You know? And that's sad. It's sad that some of us, we spend our whole lives just eating stuff that never fills us. Right? But Jesus, he gives us this promise, and he says that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. Like, if that's your goal, if that's what you're seeking after, is that what you desire, you're going to be filled and satisfied. And that's good news for all of us in here tonight. You know, if that's all you got out of this, out of anything we do here at church, really honestly, if you desire to know righteousness and know that you're right with God and all that, man, you're going to be filled and you're going to live a full life. All the other stuff pales in comparison to this. But being full, that's what a lot of us want. Being satisfied, that's what we're all going after. And the world lies to us and tells us things And they say you're going to be filled with it. You're going to be full when you get this. But at the end of the day, you're never full. You're just empty, wanting more. And so I say, why don't we look at the Bible? Why don't we look at what Jesus said? Why don't we be hungry for the things that Jesus was hungry for? And then we'll see the results that Jesus had. We'll look like him. People will see us and they'll see Jesus. And then that's what I really desire for us. So we need to eat. We got to eat to grow. We got to eat to change. I was doing some research today about eating, and I know we're talking about a lot about health and everything, and with Team Lean going on. But I wanted to see what increases your appetite, right? Because some of us, we're good on this whole. We're eating the right stuff, and we're going after God. The question is, you know, do we need to be consuming more? You don't need to just be, you need to be progressing, right? Is there more growth that needs to take place? And I weigh like 160 pounds, and I recently decided that when they joined Team Lean, I was going to join Team Gain, right? So I was going to try to put on some weight, and there's a couple other people that are with me. Yeah, Houston's with me. Some of us younger guys, we're going to try to put on some weight. Now, to gain weight, right, you have to eat more, right? But I've tried eating more, all right? And it's hard to eat more, all right? I mean, if you're used to eating this amount and you're making yourself eat more, it's like you're having to force feed yourself. You almost want to throw up. I mean, and most, this is like a really silly problem to have. None of you guys feel sorry for me at all. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. But like, it's really difficult to eat more if you have to make, you know, it's really difficult to eat more if you're not used to eating that much, right? And I was reading today that your appetite, the main way that your appetite increases is by eating more. And it's by eating more frequently. It tells you to eat, you know, like 5 meals a day, right? You want to get more and constantly be eating. Basically, you're constantly like being a little hungry. You're getting filled, hungry, filled, hungry, filled, hungry, filled. And this is with us, the same thing every day. A little hungry, we're filled, hungry, filled, hungry, filled. The problem is that most of us are only filled on Sundays and Wednesdays. That's the problem. Most of us are only filled at Christmas time or, you know, I mean, these whatever moment at Easter. And I'm not trying to come down on any of us, even with myself. It's like I realize that some of the reasons I get frustrated or upset with life is that I haven't been eating. Right? I haven't been, you know, I'm just being honest with everybody tonight. Is that okay? I've told you guys a lot about myself. And we went to Peru back in November, and it was great. It was amazing. You know, some of the best things I've ever seen in my life, just incredible. But I came back here, and this is how it works on these things. If you've ever, you know, been on something like this where you're on this life-changing mission or whatever, and you come back, and it's like, at first it's like, yeah, you're so excited, and you're like, everything's going to change here, and you start doing this. But what really happens is that you basically just become numb in a way, like, You either, at least this is how it was for me, I was like, I was full, and then I just kind of stopped, you know, just kind of stopped progressing. You know, I'm okay right now. You know, that was great. And you don't really push for any more growth. You don't really, you know, go for anything else. You're not really eating more. You're just kind of like, okay, well, that was awesome, and I'm good right now, right? I don't know if anybody's ever had that happen. But it's a rough place because it's like, you know there should be more, but you've gotten away from eating, and so you get mad at God, you get mad at yourself, you get mad at people around you, and the whole problem is that you stopped eating. You stopped doing what got you to this place. What got me to Peru was I was eating, I was consuming the Word, I was being full of God, I was changing, I was growing, and then had a big moment. I had a moment of fulfillment. Then you come back. And then I stop eating, and then I just, you know, you just kind of starve. You know what I'm saying? You're just, what happens when people starve is not so much that they go crazy, but it's like they just lay there and kind of die, you know? And that's what we kind of do sometimes in life is we just lay there and just sit there. And so I realize I have to start eating again. I got to start eating. And maybe even at the beginning of this, I almost have to make myself eat because I haven't done it in so long. you forget how to do it, or maybe it's difficult or it's uncomfortable. And some of us, that's where we're at tonight, is that things, amazing things have happened in the past, and you can't live on the glory days. You got to keep moving forward. And so maybe you need to start eating again. Maybe you need to start consuming again. Maybe you got to start trusting God again. I mean, that's for you to get the results, to get the growth that you want. That's what you got to do. While the Australian people were here last weekend, y'all saw the little girl. She was born in Ethiopia, and they adopted her. And the mother told us a story that where she came from, the orphanage or whatever you want to call it, where she was at, there's about like 40 babies, and there was only one person to take care of all these kids. Imagine how terrible that is. But so none of these little kids, these little babies could be held all the time. You know what I mean? They just got to change them. And I mean, there's 40 of them. Could you imagine? You know, nursery is rough enough, but could you imagine one person taking care of 40 babies? And so, Abigail, this is the girl, she, when they adopted her, I think she was 5 months old. Is that right? She had stopped eating. And the reason was, is that when she hadn't had the physical touch, the human touch, and what happens is her body started to shut down, and one of the things she stopped doing was stopped eating. Isn't that amazing? And so the mother said that what she did, she took a year off and she just held that baby. But at the beginning, what she had to do is she had to force her to eat. She had to force her to eat. That's crazy. I mean, that's difficult to understand in those terms. You know, I hope that none of us have been in that kind of situation. But spiritually, a lot of us have been. Right? We either get away from what we know, we get away from God's love, we get out of what we're doing, and, you know, we stop eating and we stop basically just doing what we need to survive. I mean, we stop the basics, right? And so I want to encourage you tonight, if that's where you're at, I encourage you, first step is, to experience God's love, to be held, to be embraced. But then to begin to eat, and even if you have to make yourself eat a little, that's okay. I call it faith feeding. You feed yourself by faith that I'm going to be hungry. You start eating with the expectation that you're going to be hungry. Because if that scripture is true, that God is working in us and he's given us the desire, then by faith, if I begin to eat, I can expect him to give me more hunger. And I will say, this is awesome, because if you want change in your life, you begin to eat, and I'll explain what we're going to eat in a second. You begin to eat, and you believe and trust, and God will give you the desire and the hunger to eat more, and you begin to consume more, and you begin to change, and you begin to grow into the fullness of who God has called you to be. Now, I've heard that if you're supposed to be a good musician, you're supposed to listen to music. And you're supposed to listen to a lot of music, and you're supposed to listen to it all the time. And a lot of times we think that practice is number one, right? And practice is great. But one problem is with practice is that if you don't have any desire to practice, then practice is just, it's terrible, right? But what's amazing, I have found in my life that when I listen to music, my first instinct is to go and play music. Like when I listen to a song I like, to go out and get my guitar or whatever. Instead of me setting up a schedule, I got to practice this amount, this time, 5 times a week at this hour. I've found that if I listen to music and eat music, that I will begin to play because of that. And there's a lot of things in life like this. I mean, a lot of stuff. That if you get in that atmosphere and that environment and you consume of it, you will begin to desire it, and you'll begin to do it. You'll begin to be it. And so, in whatever area you're at, like I was saying, loving people, I've got to begin to, I told you, I'm reading a book. I'm eating of something. Some guy who's talking about loving people, I'm beginning to do that, beginning to see that, so that I can begin to desire it, then I can begin to do it, to be it. And all of us, whatever area of change you're at, you got to go in there and start eating out of that area, start consuming. It's not so much about doing. It's a lot more about consuming of that of that environment, of that, I don't know what the right word is, but of that, if that makes sense, so that you begin to desire it and your appetite begins to grow and you get more and more hungry. And so we got a few more minutes here. I'll just tell a couple stories. I heard Andrew Womack, I was listening to him recently, and he was saying that there was a time in his life where he felt like an inkling, and this is how God works with us, he felt an inkling to read about people being raised from the dead. All right, now this is a crazy thing. It's something I think all of us in here, that would be amazing to see. Right? I don't know if all of us in here necessarily desire it. Really, really desire it. You know, I mean, we'd all want to see it, but I'm talking about real hunger for it. And so Andrew Womack, he began to read all the accounts in the scriptures where people were raised from the dead. And he said he spent months doing this, reading and eating and consuming, and his faith was getting up. And he said he began to see himself as Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the tomb. He began to see himself as Jesus. That's hunger. And so he said, a couple months later, he had two situations. Never before had he ever experienced this. Two situations where he had to be there and be involved in someone being raised from the dead. All right? That's not just coincidence, all right? It's when you get your hunger up, your faith up, when you start eating and consuming, there you start to see it out here in the natural, and you start to see change, and you start to see opportunities, and things start working. I mean, this is how God does stuff. And so that was amazing, and he was talking about how great that was and how amazing. Well, what happened is he stopped really pursuing that. I think he had his high, like I was talking about with Peru, and he was filled and it was good, but then he stopped eating that. And if several years later, he remembered back to that, and these two situations, I mean, that would mark you, someone being raised from the dead, that would change you. And he said he started to consume again, and he started to do what he did before. He started reading the scriptures and putting his name where Jesus was, I mean, whatever. And he said, a few months later, his son died. And he raised him from the dead. And see, God, I believe he puts desires within all of us to prepare us for what's coming. He puts desires in you and where you're at so you can change and you can grow to be ready for when those situations pop up. For when things pop up, I know we all have stories in here where God started working on something in our hearts and in our lives, and days and weeks, months, maybe even years later, we drawled upon that desire and that thing and that change, and it is what we needed in that moment. And so, as you are changing, and as we're talking about catalysts to change, this hunger thing, desire thing, it's so important. And I'm not talking about so much about what you desire in the sense of what you want out of life and what you think is good and what you think is great. I'm talking about what God desires through you, you know, what God does desires. He's working in you when he's worked through you, because those are the desires that are going to bring lasting change. And those are the desires that are going to bring that change that you need in that moment when your son is lying there dead. And that's really what we all need. You know, I don't need a better job. I don't necessarily need to make more money. All right, I don't make any money at the moment. All right, you know, but I'm just hypothetical. That's not so much as what I need, as I need to learn to abound and to be abased and to be content with what I have and to learn how to give, right? I mean, that's what I really need to learn how to do. Sometimes we think, well, I need a better job, I need more money or whatever. No, you just need to learn how to have joy in life. I mean, let's just be real, right? And God will show you, he will lead each and every one of us where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to desire, what we want. And so, I will close with this. Yeah, I was in my trust challenge group the other night, group number 7. I don't know if, is there anybody from group 7 here tonight? Oh, yeah, okay, sorry, you two. They're the leaders, so you sometimes forget. I'm so thankful that y'all are here, because nobody else from group 7 is here. That's disappointing. But there were people sharing in our group about how they thought they wanted one thing, but in the last few weeks and months that they're realizing that's not what they really want. That's not what God really has for them. And they're almost in this really tough spot, this really uncomfortable spot, because for so long they wanted one thing, and now they're seeing that's not what they should be wanting. They were hungry for something, And they're realizing this wasn't really a healthy hunger. This really wasn't a holy hunger. This really wasn't from God. It was kind of themselves. And I think all of us, we have that in us. We have these desires for things that really aren't necessarily from God. We might stamp the God stamp on it. You know, I want to do this and in the name of God. But really, you know, let's be honest with ourselves. There's some things within us that aren't necessarily right. Some desires that we have that aren't necessarily right. And we can even do incredible things, and it's coming from the wrong place. And so I want to be a person who lives in line with what God desires. And I think y'all do too. And so tonight, I invite all of us to really to look at our desires, to look at what we're hungry for, and to see, is this what God desires for me? And then when you've made those choices and those decisions, and you're the only one who can decide that for you, once you've decided that, you begin to eat and to consume and to partake of that and begin to grow. And that's when you will see change, and that's when you will look more and more like Jesus. And so we will end there. But do you have a question for people? All right. Very good.
So we're going to do our groups here in just a moment. But I wanted to say something before we did. I learned years ago this principle, and it's basically this: what you give your attention to, you will start desiring. Even if you don't desire it when you first put your attention on it, if you put your attention on something, you will begin to desire it. And when Harry was talking there, he was talking along those lines. He didn't say those words, but he was talking about that principle. And I thought about when we were painting these steps and the trim here, and Kristen says, she brings me in here and says, this is what I want to do, and I want to paint this gray. And she has these paint colors up here, and I'm like, you want to paint it gray? And I had never thought of painting it gray. And she said, yeah, gray. And I'm like, gray? She said, yeah, gray is a really great color. It's a new, you know, it's like a new neutral, and it's really popular right now, and I want to paint it gray. And I said, gray? And she said, yeah. And so she painted it gray, and it looked great. And so I sat here, and week after week, I'd sit here, and I'd look at it. And then what began to happen is wherever I'd go, I'd see gray. And I'd just be looking at gray, and I'd go, there's that gray that Kristen was talking about. And then I started seeing these different shades of gray, and there's deep gray, and there's lighter. And I'm looking, and I'm like, gray. And I've never been like this big fan of gray. And I'm like, gray? There's gray. And then I got somebody at my house yesterday talking about painting my kitchen cabinets, and the next thing I know, I'm going, what do you think if we paint these cabinets down here gray? And I'm like, what happened to me? But I mean, it's just a really simple principle that Kristen called my attention to gray. And then I started looking at gray, and I just gave my attention to it. And then when I would see gray, I'd be like, oh, there's gray. And it grew in me to now I want something gray. And that's how it works. And it's not a magic trick. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't had to work it up. I haven't had to make it happen. It just came out of my attention, and then my desire was following my attention. We can use that principle for our good. We can harness it because it's a truth. There's truth there. And you can harness it and start putting your attention on something, and your desire for it will grow. Isn't that true? It's the truth. So, all right, well, we're going to divide up into groups. There are not as many of us tonight for several reasons. But, hey, we're here. And so I'm just going to invite you in a moment to stand up and find two or three people that you didn't come with, no more than four. And tonight, instead of having a specific question, you might have had some things stirred in you tonight about hunger and desire. But the question tonight, we're going to take a little shorter time. Well, I can't see quite. But anyway, we'll go to about 8:15, 8:17. And I want to ask you just to talk in your group about how this season right now, this time of change We have the Trust Challenge that we're having intensives for on Sunday nights. But how in this season of change, we've been challenging ourselves to trust in God. But since the first of the year, we've been talking about catalysts to change. There's been a lot of things we've discussed. How are you doing with this whole thing of change? Do you feel like change is happening in your life? And if so, is there something you've learned in this that might could help somebody else? No, don't preach to each other because we'll be here all night. But if you got something you can share, I'm telling you, God's working in us, and in his work in us, you might have seen something.